All right, God is great and greatly to be praised. Let's have a couple testimonies about Israel, what happened in Israel.
Welcome home.
Yeah, it's good to be home. And I just personally had an incredible, enriching time. And our guide was awesome. Our driver was awesome. So we just really were in the best of hands in a strange land. It was great. They just made us feel at home, took care of everything, blessed us beyond above and beyond what they needed to do, but really took good care of us. The guide invited us to his own home, and we were privileged to meet his wife and some other people as well. It was just great. So many good things happened there. So let's just have a couple of testimonies of what happened, either Sam, Vicky, and Peggy, and myself, and Ginny. And we had Ginny's daughter, Caroline, also. So it was really great. We had 28 people all together. Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. For a pastor, I have to have two eyes, one myself to teach and so on and so forth, but I also have to make sure nobody gets killed or lost or, you know, stays in the bathroom too long and misses the bus or something. And so I was very concerned that everybody get on the plane and all that stuff. So you do enjoy, and I did, I had an incredible time, but I also care for everybody and want to make sure everybody had a wonderful time. But we did. We just did. And our last night there, we had a farewell dinner, and everybody who wanted to got up and shared. It was wonderful. It's incredible, miraculous for many people. So, who would like to share something? Ginny or Sam or Peggy or Vicky?
Well, the word for me, I really enjoyed being with Jim for 10 days, and I really came back relaxed because his teaching is the teaching of a perfect mother, and I just came back relaxed, and particularly in my business world, I'm a rather relaxed wife and mother, but I was uptight about, and I just needed to hear God for me, with me, beside me, that the future is finished, the past is. There's no guilt in the past, no fear of the future, that you can just, that God's got everything under control. And I think being immersed in that the love of God and a pastor that's finished with the past and finished with the future, he's completely blessed. It helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've come back with a peace that passes all understanding in the part of my life that I was worrying about. So, mm-hmm. You know, that really shows that to be discipled 10 days straight is a good thing. Yeah. It was a God thing for me. And I just, that happiness, you know, just staying in, you know, the Beatitude sermon that Jim preached, you know, blessed are they, happy, 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 happy. So I just thank the Lord and it was so happy for me to see Caroline on the trip, and you know, she just soaked up everything. And speaking of really wanting to just seek out the Lord's wisdom and His ways, that my favorite point was that the first day that Jim preached, Caroline. You must have preached an hour, but at the very end, I started writing all this stuff, and she was writing a dozen questions. And we were walking along the road, and she started asking me the questions. And I said, you know, you could be with a better person to answer those questions. So would you like to wait and just ask them to Jim directly, and I could accent if there's anything more, but you've got the best here. So that night, the first night, he came over and said, Caroline, how's it going? And started talking to her. And you were great with everybody. You just interacted with everybody. And Peggy was such a blessing. And,
And just the two of you all together was fun to just be a part of your marriage and trip guiding. Just they sat at the front together and I know what it was. So that was sweet for me with Caroline. I think what it hit me is that if Jim takes all the burden, it's his own business. And as a businesswoman, I came home to Sarah, who was so upset. So I come off a high. But I think what I've learned was that in business, even though Sarah and I walk together, she wants to be partners. Really, one of the things that Jim preached was that whenever you're in authority, you take all the burden and give them a blessing. And I think I left Sarah with a bunch of burden.
Yeah.
It was gone when I got home. She was kind of mad. And I think, but the interesting thing, that's how my dad ran Jenny Johansson Designs, is he took all the burden and gave us the blessing. It's not that you didn't work, but I think that with if God's delegated me a leadership position, even though the person I'm working with wants to be a partner, you really can't have partners. You treat everyone very well and give them responsibility, but I need to switch to increase leadership and give her more of the blessing. And so that was a good thing. So, I mean, good teaching. And I just love the Jewish people. And, I mean, boy, we left, with a lot of action taking place behind us. So just praying for them. And the people on the trip were such amazing co-travelers and sisters and brothers. And I just so enjoyed Sam and Vicki and all the people that were on the trip and learned a lot from Jim, learned a lot from everyone on the trip. I think I loved learning, learning of the Father, learning of the Son, learning of the leading of the Holy Spirit, and receiving from you because we moved all around. And then finally, I have to say, okay, so David had a little crush on Caroline, so cute. Now, of course, I think it was platonic, but he goes, Caroline, this is David Parthenia's son, who's a high functioning Down syndrome. He goes, Caroline, you are. And then he said, Caroline, I love you so, so much. And then he said, our family's going to go on a vacation in a couple months, and I want to see if you can go with us. And, but, I think for me, too, and I'm going a little long, but, Caroline, growing up, was probably our most, the girl that was more in the popular crowd, if you will. I mean, they all were favored and blessed, but I think to see her humility and to see her interaction and appreciation of all ages, all stages, all types of people, I think she, in the teaching that she got, I think she's the best is here and the best is yet to come. And I think for me too, and thank you for just your walk and your teaching and your just getting to be there through the land with you. I've got so much to still absorb. I think I may be studying my notes for another month or two.
It's good.
So, God did a good work.
Sam or Vicki?
Well, one of the things that blessed me was getting to know people I go to church with. Usually we just pick up church and leave. And so I feel so much more comfortable here now. And I've made some good friends. And one thing that really blessed me was the last night when we had the dinner. Caroline gave a little testimony that she had God in the box in New York. Now she kind of sees, more of who he is and his blessings. And that was just, the whole trip was amazing. But those were two things that I did for her.
Mm-hmm. It's powerful. Peggy or Sam?
Well, as I said at dinner that last night, understanding your teaching along with the understanding that our guide Ronnie had of the Hebrew translation of the Bible and the scriptures and everything that we had, with the history lesson that we had, and your teaching and understanding, even little things, like where Christ was crucified wasn't on a hill. It was on the road that's where they did it, where people could come by and humiliate them and do things like that. And the humbling, knowing that Christ did that for us.
Yeah.
And your teaching that went right along with the history and everything. I came out of there with a kinship, as Jenny said, for the Jewish people, for those people there.
Yeah.
And understanding, and as we all who maybe don't understand a lot about the way that their laws and traditions and everything are, you kind of have an appreciation for it, but you also understand that when Jesus, Yeshua, as they call him, came out, and how that his heart is still for those people. Our heart should be too. So we have to have a kinship with those people.
Amen. It's powerful. Amen. Peggy?
Well, it was an amazing trip. It was amazing that I made it. And survived it.
She was a trooper.
It was wonderful. Everybody was a very gracious to me.
She had to climb a little mountain there.
But I thought it was so cute. She group. I'm doing it.
I was more a taskmaster.
No, I wouldn't have made that. But the whole thing was good. I've been 4 times now, and it's always like so much stuff, to learn. And it's finally kind of, I'm getting the geography of the land and where Jesus was. And so when I'm reading the word, it's more, that's where that was. So that was very good. And I just
think
Jenny is a blessing
to
everybody, for all of us.
Amen.
And David and Mary.
Oh, yeah.
That was a highlight for me.
Yeah. Precious.
What a great couple.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't know Jim raised a funny cent. It's the...
I don't know where it gets it. It's good. All right, God is great. Here's a picture of our... Yeah. Wyatt, did you want to say something?
Yeah. On the outside, figure of God, I did the local paper to the beer. I was like, she's going to die. And the place called Permit to the Lord. It said on President of all the state. And on there, we never said that my mother died.
Mama, we just found out, Mama.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's pray for her. Let's pray for Mir right now.
Yeah, I think she does that because she's not the person still here.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's pray.
And in the Lord, we love our mirrors, our poor and daddy bread. We love them all.
My brother's here from Christ, we're all families and all together and stuff, but yeah.
Wow. Powerful. Let's lift her up to Jesus.
Pray. We're all going to pray together.
We're going to pray now to Jesus for her. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful, wonderful grandmother. And we just thank you, Lord, that you love her. And she loves you. And she loves Wyatt. And Wyatt loves her. And we just thank you that you will heal her and not let anything bad happen, but only good. Only good.
Amen.
We give you praise, Lord God, that you are a God who cares and never stops caring and never quits loving. And that's the way we want to be too. And so thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer and answering it so that she's not in pain, but she will know that you want the best for her, the best. And so we give you praise, Lord God, that you'll do everything. We don't even know what's wrong or how to fix it, but you do. You're the great physician. So Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for Miriam. Amen. It's good. Thanks for bringing that up. All right, God is great. Here's a picture of our tour guide. This is our tour guide and myself. We were across from the Knesset. There's a big, huge candelabra there, as big as the room almost here. And we were standing in front of it. And it's the story of Israel. It has their whole history on this thing.
Oh, what a great picture.
Yeah, it's super. And so our tour guide's name was Rami, and he's from Persia, but he's a Jewish person from Persia, but he became Christian. So now he's a what they call Messianic Christian or Jew. And so it's pretty wonderful. And this is a picture of me under a sycamore tree. Yeah, under a sycamore tree on the Mount of Beatitudes, which is above the Sea of Galilee, right above it. I think you probably can't see the sea there, but it's just beyond it.
Oh, that was in Caesarea Philippi.
No.
Capernaum?
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Or Capernaum, I mean.
I think this is Capernaum.
Yeah, Capernaum. It was.
Oh, this is in Capernaum.
Yeah.
Well, this, okay, then just, it's right near it. This is Jesus' headquarters. This is where he had it, and he planted that tree that we're under.
That was the one Zacchaeus was on.
Yeah, this is the tree that Zacchaeus climbed. That's down in Jericho.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, it is a sycamore tree. And so this was fun to teach, and right in the spot where, you know, Jesus once walked and talked.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not exactly the same because the land builds up over the years. But it was a joy. Julia, did you want to say anything about what you experienced there? Yeah. Had some good friends with you, and so that made it a joy.
Yeah. Well, I have a friend who's Jewish Italian. She was just touched. It was her first time.
One of the things you do is you go there to see and hear and experience that place, but we actually grow close to one another because we had to fly 12 hours or more together with the same people in a squeezed up little space, and then you kind of get to know each other that way. Apparently I fell asleep and cried out in my sleep or something.
Oh, no.
Peggy tried to protect
me. Woke up everybody.
But I didn't wake up because I
didn't wake up.
I didn't wake up at all.
Was he drooling at the side of his neck?
No, I didn't see him. All I heard it.
She thought it was a cry. I'm sure I was praising God.
That's right.
Anyway, so you can sleep, you know, on an airplane, sitting up. And so that's kind of fun. Because they deliberately set it up so we'd be flying over the Atlantic all night long, which is sleep time, and then coming back the same. So it worked for me great. So a lot of people stayed up and had to watch movies, play games. All right.
Jim, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was awesome. Unbelievable. Unforgettable. Unforgettable. Yep. All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 16. And I did teach on this. I did teach on this. Matthew 16. This teaching takes place in the far north. It's a place called Dan in the Bible. Jordan, the Jordan River. And it has to do with as far north as you can go, there's a great big cave. I mean, 2 or 3 times the size of this room. It's big, it's huge. And the Jordan River comes out of it, and behind it are 3 rivers that feed into that Jordan and make the Jordan River that goes all the way down to Jerusalem and Sea of Galilee and everything to the Dead Sea. So it's quite a long trip. But behind that, there's a 100-mile mountain. In other words, it goes 100 miles. It extends the length of it, called Mount Hermon. And it's very big. It's a huge mountain. And so a lot of the snow, there's no other mountain in Israel like that one. And that actually is a little bit in Israel, but a lot in Lebanon. And that's called Mount Hermon. And then it also touches on Syria. So the 3 kind of come together in this pagan spot, which they worship Pan there. But I love to go there because that's where Jesus stopped doing his miracles and signs and wonders and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he was midway through his ministry, and he started teaching about opposing the Jewish leaders, knowing they'd kill him. So what he did was he said, I'm turned this way going north. And then all of a sudden he said to his disciples, now I'm going to set my face to go to Jerusalem and be killed. And they were like, huh? You know, it didn't make any sense of why he would spend 1.5 years with them or more teaching and doing signs and miracles and so on. And then suddenly he's only interested in opposing the other, his opponents, and confronting them and teaching differently than they taught so that they'd hate him and kill him. And he deliberately then said, I'm determined to do that. So this takes place in Matthew chapter 16. So if you have a Bible, read it. The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. So they wanted to put him to the test, you know. Because they knew he wasn't joining their outfit. He wasn't teaching their teachings. In fact, he was teaching things that were quite the opposite, as Ginny pointed out, and as I taught in Capernaum, his headquarters, Jesus taught something like this. This is weird. It's a weird teaching. Stop worrying about everything. Relax. Be happy. God loves you. Don't work anymore. Stop sacrificing. It's all over. And so that was kind of to say that to a legalistic religion following a law with absolute, you know, details about everything you have to do and can't do and this and that and so on and so forth, he was going against the grain. Against his own denomination, against his own theological upbringing, and he was claiming to have authority to do so, and turning everything upside down. So naturally, they had to kill him. They had to oppose him. They had to get rid of him because he was making it too good. How many know that's what I do? I do. I make it way too good, way too nice. Like there's nothing you have to do to please God. He's already pleased with you. And even if you're as wicked as all get out, and there's 2 or 3 of you like that, yeah. If even though you're wicked as all get out, he loves you. He loves you. He doesn't care that you're wicked. He's not. That doesn't stop his love. He doesn't care how you failed. He doesn't care that you never kept his law. He doesn't care that you did it with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. He doesn't care that you ate of the tree of which he said not to eat. He doesn't care. He just comes along and says, you know, all of that, you know, has a place, but let me give you the true interpretation of God's heart. Never been mad at anybody. Never will be, ever. And so, good news.
Amen.
Well, they didn't like that. Because part of the attraction for religion is the ministers make you feel guilty. And you feel like you've really been to church if they point out your sins and convict you. And stop doing what you're doing. Start doing the right thing. And so, you remember how John the Baptist started out? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, and he was eating locusts and so on. You know, he's kind of like a fierce-looking guy and lived out in the wilderness and so on. So that's the typical picture of John. But Jesus said John was the greatest of the old. The greatest of the old. But he was still of the old. And the least person in the kingdom of God would be a billion times greater than John. But he was the greatest of the Old Testament. Why? What made John so great? He introduced Jesus. Did y'all see that? Mm-hmm. What makes you great? You introduced Jesus. Yeah. And John, you know, had no problem there. He just kept asking, are you really the one? Because I think they're about to chop my head off. I think I'm getting in trouble here. And I'm just trying to teach the law, and Herod, the king, he's broken the law, and I'm trying to, you know, tell him the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And I believe he kind of likes me, but I also believe that Herodias, that wife that I said, she's committing, you know, a bad incestuous relationship with her brother-in-law. And so that's forbidden by God. And John pulled no punches, and so, you know, Herod was fascinated by him. And he could easily have him killed, but he didn't want to. But you remember the little girl danced before him. And he finally yielded to that, and he was really sorry because he loved having these talks with him, and so on and so forth. Well, Jesus started out his ministry with the same exact words. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So that actually, in John's mouth, it was behave yourself. You know, who told you vipers to, you know, come here? You know, bear fruit that looks ripe for repentance. So John was fierce, but Jesus comes along and baptizes him in the river. And Jesus says the same words after John is killed. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But he's saying it this way. Change your mind, because the kingdom of God is here. I'm bringing it. And John was saying the same thing, but he thought it was, you know, like, behave yourself. God's coming. And, you know, you better clean up your act. But here, Jesus is saying the exact same words, but he meant just the opposite. He didn't mean that, clean up your act. He knew that man can't. How many know that if you're a sinner, you're a sinner? If you're, you know, an angel, you're an angel. How many know you're not an angel? But you are a sinner. And even pastors sin. Even nice people sin. Even the nicest of us are hypocrites and liars. And so Jesus wasn't into that. The New Testament's not talking about the Ten Commandments. The New Testament's talking about don't be a hypocrite. If you're a Christian, then be a Christian. If you want to keep the law, go all the way. And if you don't want to keep it, then believe in Jesus. I mean, there's two ways to go. You can either eat of the tree of the life and live, or you can eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and die. You can do one or the other. So he gave a choice. And nobody had ever taught like that. You know, they'd always taught behave yourself. And Jesus was teaching, don't worry about that. I'm going to behave for you. And in fact, I'm going to state it accurately. What he was saying was, instead of you going to the temple, instead of you making sacrifices with lambs and bulls and turtle doves, instead of you doing good things for God, God wants to do it himself. And he wants to do it and then throw a big party for you. Well, that was like, that doesn't make any sense. We're just barely getting people to feel guilty about their being no good. And here you come along and say, God wants to make a sacrifice, and he's the one we injured. And he wants to forgive you, and then he wants to pay for it. And we're the ones supposed to pay for our debt and clean that thing up. And he comes and says, no, God doesn't want that. He just wants to forgive you all that, and then he wants to change you and and get you all set so you can come to heaven. Wow. That was the opposite. That God himself would make an atonement instead of you making it to get on his right side. He wanted to make it and say, I don't want you to try. You just relax. Let me do it.
Amen.
That's wonderful. I don't know why. I don't know if you get that or not. That they had to kill him for that. Because he's making it way too easy and good on people. As though all their religion was worthless. As though all their behaving themselves was useless. As though unless the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. All of your labor. Come unto me, that you that labor and are heavy burdened. You're working too hard at this thing. How many know that Christians work really hard at behaving themselves? And some denominations work harder than others. You know, in one of them, you just have to be baptized. In another one, you have to be baptized and then have a born-again experience. And in another one, you have to speak in tongues. And, you know, they got all these different deals you have to do. I mean, have you ever been to more than one denomination? They all got their own deal. And some of it make it where you don't even have to believe in God. But Jesus wasn't teaching that. He was saying, I want you to believe in God, but change your picture about God. He's not an angry judge. He's a loving father. And so Jesus was making it too wonderful for wicked people to get in. And lazy people. And lying people. Murderers and harlots and so on. He was just letting everybody in. I mean, it's kind of, y'all come big barbecue here. You know, and it was just like, no, we don't do it like that. Just have the good people come. People that have made an effort. You know, don't invite the riffraff. And so Jesus, he was not a respecter of persons. He said, no, God's going to kill me instead of y'all. And you don't have to worry about it. So do y'all understand? Why would God make a covenant with Abraham and Abraham didn't have to do anything? Why did God want to do everything for you instead of you doing anything for him? Well, it's easy. Because his standard is so high and he knew you couldn't pay the debt. He knew there was no way that you could do it with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And the reason he gave the law was to prove to you that you couldn't keep it. He never gave the law so you'd do it. He gave the law so you wouldn't do it. Or you'd realize you couldn't do it. And that's all. He only did that to say, you see, you're working way too hard at this. I already love you. I've always loved you. I created you. And other gods maybe kick you out. But I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for everything. Let me take care of everything. Do y'all see this? So it's too good a news. I can tell this is not the normal church in Dallas. Dallas is a very serious religious city. Very serious. Except for the Episcopalians or something. The rest of them are kind of serious about the whole thing. The Episcopalians, all you got to do is go and drink a lot of wine. But the truth is that Jesus is not mad. Because God the Father is not mad. And so he taught the wrong teaching, which is let God do it. In fact, he just sent me to tell you that I'm going to pay for everybody. I'm going to prepay for everybody. You don't have to earn this. As a matter of fact, you can't because you're not perfect, but I can because I am. And so basically, let's imagine this, that this table over here is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Basically, he said, don't dare eat of that tree because the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And everybody took that to mean God's mad now because we injured him and we ate the tree he said not to eat. And now he's ticked and you have to kind of get on his good side if you can. But Jesus, instead of saying you have to pay for it, he was basically saying, why don't you, instead of doing that, why don't you just come to me and I'll pay for everything. And just eat of me. That tree you eat of, you die. This tree you eat of, I'm the tree of life. Remember there were two trees in the Garden of Eden and all the ones that you could freely eat of. But the two that you could not eat of was, he said, don't eat of this tree over here. But he never said anything about the tree of life. But actually, Jesus did when he said, eat of me. Eat of me. Partake of me. Don't keep eating of this tree over here, because the most you can do here is build up a pyramid of pride. The most you can do here is rely upon your own brain. The most you can do here is to try to be moral. The most you can do is end up being a hypocrite. The most you can do over here is nothing. All your righteousness is a filthy rag. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. So stop eating of that tree which is going nowhere. Religion stinks. Did you hear what I just said? Now, that sounds funny for a pastor to say that, but that's what Jesus said, and that's why they killed him. The religious people killed him. The harlots didn't get together to kill Jesus. The murderers didn't get together to kill Jesus. You know, it was actually the religious people killed him. And in fact, Pilate wanted to let him go. Remember, he examined him and said, I don't find a crime in him. Not one worthy of death. So, no, I can't do it. I'm washing my hands of this whole deal. No. And he said it three times. And they insisted. Man, if you let that guy go, this guy is bad. So I examined him three times, and I'm a good judge. I've done lots of these. I can just tell you, this guy didn't even have an army. He has no money. He's preaching peace. No, I don't find any crime in this guy at all. Now, I'm a good judge of character. I've got to be. I'm the governor. The emperor appointed me to do this, and I'm just telling you, I'm the last word on the subject, and the answer is no. And so he sought to release him. He said, you know, you want me to kill your king? He's trying to shame him into this. Would you rather have a murderer, Barabbas? Is that the one you want? Or, yeah, that's the one we want. And so that was actually the Jewish leaders who eat of this tree all the time, because religious people eat of this tree. Always do right, don't do wrong. Yeah, but that's hard. Have you ever noticed that's not easy for you to be pure all the time? You ever notice that everyone says, why do you want to lie and swear and steal and drink and smoke and chew and cut, and, you know, whatever, speed? You know, I mean, we still believe in this tree over here, and yet nobody's ever kept it. Nobody ever was perfect over here under this tree. Why would you keep going to church? Why would you keep going to synagogue? Why would you keep going to the mosque or wherever else that people go? So Jesus was ruining the whole concept of holiness by saying, well, there's two kinds of holiness. That one, and here's another one. This is you being your best, and this one is God doing what you can never do and just giving to for free. I don't know. Did that make sense to y'all?
Yes.
So this is building a pyramid on sand. In other words, everything here is man building up from the foundation on the shifting sand of human nature. Whereas this tree over here is built on a rock, and Jesus Christ is the rock that it's built upon, and you need to have a relationship and build your house on a rock. Don't build your pyramid on sand. So rocks are not for pyramids. You've never found a pyramid in the world built on a rock. They're always built on sand. And you don't find houses built on sand. They're always built on rocks. And so what Jesus is saying is, I'm everything that you need to be. And the way I live my life, I'm going to say that was for you. So if you believe that, that's like eating of him. If you're going to believe that, if you're going to hear his words and see his love, which we're not used to. How many know we're so used to religion and behaving ourselves and trying to be moral and trying to be just and trying to be good and avoid being bad, that we're not used to someone just coming along and saying, God, who's holy, has decided to give everybody a free pass. All you got to do is believe in Jesus. Just listen to him, don't listen to those guys. And so, of course, he had to die, and he did. And he was happy to do it. He wanted to do it. He was eager to do it. Amen? Now, that, amazingly, with no force, no power, God never forces anything that's good, right, just, true, never. Everything that he does is always real easy on you because he wants to, you're the beneficiary of his trust. Heaven's trust is a spiritual trust, and he wants just to give everything for free away. Don't you see that's a good parent? Don't you see that parents that force their kids to behave are being hard on them? It's like you have a baby and he's only 7 months old, and you want him to sit on the little potty, and they kind of slump on it like this. You do poo-poo. And they're trying to do poo-poo and so on. I mean, the reason they're doing it is because they have a second cousin whose little kid did it at 4 months. You know, I'm just kidding, but you know, the whole point is they're in a race to show that their little kid can sit on the potty all by himself and so on and so forth, rather than just wait till he's two. How many know that's a bad parent? You wait till two. Man, you can force them. You can just force them. But their whole life, they're schizophrenic. You know, their whole life, they're always trying to please mom and dad to slump onto that potty and poop. You know, y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so God doesn't like that kind of pressure. And I didn't raise my kids that way. I didn't raise them to be under that kind of pressure. We just hugged them and loved them. Whatever they did, we'd pay for it. Did y'all see that? I don't know why that turns out to be a good deal. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm just following the Jesus program where I got in through, a day when they lowered the bar so low that I could get in. And it was like a bargain day, triple, stamps that day or something. And I just said, all I got to do, I don't have to climb over this high wall. I can just step over this stick. Yeah, I can do that one. So I got in. That's how I got in. Cheap. I mean, it didn't cost me a thing. They were handing out all his freebies, and can I have another package of peanuts or, whatever they were doing. And I was totally selfish, and I didn't have any religion in me. I had no morals in me. Never have, never have, never have. I still don't have them. I'm not religious. But I have a love, intimate relationship, literally. I don't work at it. It's not a sweat for me. How can anyone not love Jesus? He's awesome. He can calm water and heal diseases and, lead you to Father's house. And golly, what can't the guy do for you? I don't even know what's good for me. But this guy, he knows everything that's good for me better than I do. And I'm going home and I get to start today. I don't even have to wait. I can today be happy. Am I reaching anybody so far?
Yeah.
I haven't even got to the scripture. Probably never get to it. But it's a good one. We have to go now? It's already quarter after. Huh. What? We'll just have to wait till next time. Oh, I have still more time? How much can I have? See how Peggy's a good wife? She lets me know when I've done too much wrong and how when I'm within the little bar thing. All right, let's read on. And in the morning, he answered verse 2. The Pharisees are trying to get a sign from him. Come on, just, you're Jesus, you're God's son, you claim, and so on. Do a sign from heaven for us. But he said, when it's evening, you say it'll be fair weather for the sky is red. And in the morning, it'll be foul weather today for the sky is red and lowering. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, in other words, earthly things, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. You want a sign from me, and you don't know what the sign is? You don't know that I announced that this was the time for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, change your mind, skip the religion thing of eating of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, behaving yourself. Just come over here and get freebies. Just come over here. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn me. I'm gentle, lowly of heart. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And he is giving it just so easy on them. Take a rest, relax, laugh, comfort yourself. Just sit down, let me do it all. How many know that God's a good doer? I mean, everything he does is perfect. Everything he does is for you. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why does he care about us? We sin against him, rebel against him, eat of the tree he said not to eat of. We just do all this stuff. And he's not impressed with any of that. You've just labored in vain. You spent your whole life trying to please somebody, and he was pleased with you in the first place. You didn't have to do anything. He just likes it that you're born in the family. You understand what I'm saying? You know what people want? They want to be loved for who they are, not for what they should be and ought to be. They ain't having to, please people by stop doing this and start doing that. It's just too much. Amen? I mean, you can do it for a little while, but after a while, it gets boring. You just want to do your own thing and be left alone instead of coming under the regulations and the control and the domination of somebody else who knows what's good for you. But God is not like that. That's never been the heart of God. So why did he make up all those laws? He didn't make them up. They're just basically saying, be like me. And then all he's doing with Jesus is saying, you probably don't know who I am. I'm going to have my son come down instead of an angel. I'm going to have my son come down and show you what I'm like. Whatever he's like, that's what I'm like. So he couldn't have an angel do it because an angel cannot reveal God's heart because angels aren't in the heart of God or in the bosom of God. But the Father and the Son, they're that close. My son, my David, he's like that. He knows me inside and out. And we didn't have to sit down and so on. He just kind of watched me all those years. And then if I'd say something, trying to tell him something, he'd go, "Dad, it's okay. I know what you think. I know what you want. I know what needs to be done. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." That's a good son. Y'all see that? And so, you know, anyway, I could illustrate it, but it's not important. That boy is paying attention to me. And I wasn't a good dad. I wasn't great. I wasn't awesome. I was just a regular, jerky, stupid dad. Amen? And I was a hypocrite, and Peggy picked all that up. She could write a book on it, you know. And, well, I wish the church could see it now, you know, kind of thing. And I always told her, "Peg, just don't tell on me because that's your bread and butter." We get these offering things, and you're going to cut that off. So don't tell them who I really am. Do y'all see it? But I get to tell who I really am here. I can just tell you, because I'm not ashamed of anything I've done, even though it's horrible, even though it's rotten, even though I wasn't a good person at all. Amen? But Jesus is good. I don't want to be good over here. I want to be Jesus be good for me, rather than me be good for him. And that's the way I understand Abraham and God. Abraham was told to make a covenant with God, and the guy's beating off all the birds and stuff and fell asleep. And God had to do it all on his, you know, on his side. Well, that's the Abrahamic covenant. Is that God said, "I will" 7 times, and Abraham didn't say anything. You know, he just cut up the little animal things, and then he got tired out, and the birds came down to try to get the bloody things, and so on and so forth. He was tuckered out. And he just fell asleep, and then God came down and had to do the whole thing himself. Well, that's what God has always wanted to do. The nature of our God, the whole nature of our God, is that he always wants to do everything and have you do nothing. He doesn't want you to do anything because everything you do is tainted. Everything you do is stained with sin. Everything you do is build pyramids on sand. And you never build your house on a rock. So he's offered here for a wise man, build your house on a rock. So anyway, he's saying this stuff to him. And he left them. A wicked, he said, "You are a wicked and adulterous generation." He's not pulling any punches here. He's not mad at them. He's just saying the truth. "You're a wicked and adulterous generation, seeking after a sign, and there shall be no sign given you except the sign of the prophet Jonah." You remember Jonah? You know, in the belly of the whale and all that. Well, you know, Jonah was trying to run away from, you know, God, because he told him to go to Nineveh and call him to repent. And he thought, anyway, you have to read the story. But the truth is, Jonah was trying to, he was rebelling against God, and God put him in a whale, not to kill him or hurt him, but just to get him vomited up on the land so he could talk to him later. How's it going? How's that religion thing working for you? And he was mad at God that God, if he went up and told Nineveh, you know, it'd be like going to New York or Hollywood or something, "Don't stop your sinning." If he did it, they might repent, and then, he didn't want that. He wanted them to be hated. You ever done that? You ever just wanted somebody that's bad to get it? I mean, it's not a good thing, but has anybody ever done it? I mean, secretly, maybe. You just think, yeah. You know, somebody that's a real smart aleck, you know, really think they're hot or whatever, and then they fall apart. And you're just kind of rejoicing on the inside is, yes. You ever done that? Oh, my gosh. There's kind of a delight in that when somebody who's puffed up gets it. And you're not supposed to. Remember, you're not supposed to rejoice in the wrong. You're supposed to rejoice in the right. But sometimes we do. Has anybody ever done that? Yeah. Or somebody speeds past you on the highway? I hate that. I don't want anyone to ever beat me to Dallas. I just hate it. But there are people that'll go 95 to get there. And, you know, I'm crazy, but I'm not going to get caught like that. I may go 85, but I'm not going 95. And so, but normally I win. If I get on the highway, I'm going to pass everybody and I'm going to get there a bumper ahead of anybody else that was going fast. And I'll pull into the lane they're in if I see them 2 miles back, because I'm like a race car driver. I see them. I can see they're coming up a little faster than they're supposed to come, and I'll deliberately get two cars over here that'll block them, and then I pull over into the other lane where you can pass and slow them down. I love that. And then as soon as that guy's caught behind the other two lanes, I speed up. That is not funny. I don't know why I do that. I just do it. I don't have to even think about it. I just want to get to Dallas fast because I'm always late and always, you know, disorganized and so on. Hello. And I have to do it for you.
Thank you.
I have to be here for your sakes, and so I don't want to miss out. So I don't know if the policemen understand that kind of reasoning or not. Sometimes they do. They buy it. I look like a nice minister. And a lot of times the policeman will say, well, I thought you might be a minister because the Bible that you put on the windshield there as I drove up. So. And when the disciples were come together to the other side, they forgot to take bread. Remember, this is when he fed the 5,000 and so on and so forth. And then he said, now listen carefully. So here's what he says. Take heed, because they didn't have any bread. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Isn't that funny? What a funny teacher he is. He says, they forgot to take bread, so he says, yeah, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He's talking about these religious people over here that want you to behave. Don't you know that God makes all the provision for everybody all the time without your help? They didn't know what he was even talking about. And they were talking about that. What's he saying? We didn't bring bread. We should have. You know, we're trying over here to be good. We should have brought bread. We forgot. And Jesus is saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He didn't explain it. He just said it. That is authority. No explanation. He just said it. In other words, that's what the Father told him to say, and he didn't explain it. He knew they wouldn't understand. Listen, carefully. And they reasoned among themselves. There's the sin right there. Did you hear me? The world values reason as the highest part of man. But Jesus said, it's evil. When you rely upon it rather than God. Why should I, by my reason, say I forgot the bread, I'll have to go back and get some or whatever? You're reasoning and wasting time when God provides. Why don't you just let God tell you what to do? Instead of worrying about it, instead of, you know, praying or fasting or whatever you have to do, or trying to pay for it, or do two good things because you did a bad thing. Stop that reasoning and figure stuff out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God. Go to God. Seek God. Turn from your wicked ways means not stop doing wicked. It means turn to God. That's what it means. What's wicked is don't ask God for everything. You know, if my kids did something wrong, they could always come to me, and I might not spank them. Because if they'd go to mom, they know if she did wrong, she was fierce on it. You need to be spanked. Dad, they did this and that and so on. Not that she wanted that, but she just knew that's the law. You set a rule, and they broke it. And she just, you know, grab onto them and wouldn't let go. And they'd come back, and she didn't know this, because I didn't tell her this, but I'd give them an option. Well, I can either spank you because you did wrong, or I could just give you mercy. Which one do you think? And so, I don't know. 10 times out of 10, they took the mercy thing. That was kind of weird. So I would hit the stick against the bed instead of on their bottom. You know, just hit it against the bed because I always did it in the bedroom. And I told them, you know, they'll look like a gave you a spanking or something. Because mom will want you to have that. Because I knew she, if I made a law like no candy, she would make sure they didn't eat candy. Whereas if I took them out in the car, I might give them the candy, even though I made the law that said you shouldn't have it because your teeth will fall out and rot and so on and so forth. But still, I can break that law because I gave that law. How many know that God, who gave the law, can interpret it the way he wants to? And so She didn't really like that idea. You should be consistent. They're going to get all mixed up with you. So our oldest daughter now, she has eight kids, and you know how she raised them was just shove cookies into their mouth as quick as possible when they started crying and stuff, because she has eight kids. Keeping them all quiet. So they ate all the candy they wanted. She found out that was a wonderful thing. Soon as she got of age, she started eating all the candy she could. So that showed my little method was wrong and Peggy was right, you know. But I don't believe that. I did give stupid laws. I gave stupid laws because your teeth don't fall out just because you eat candy. But I said it anyway because it just came to me. Yes, did stupid things. Okay, you see, I'm not a very serious person. All right, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, "Is it because we've taken no bread? Is that what he's saying?" You know, it's like these guys trying to figure out God. I mean, you cannot figure out God. Here's the whole thing about God. He's good. No, I just solved it. Right there. He's always good. There's nobody good like God. I mean, God is just good, 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 good. There's not a mean bone in his body. He's never been mean and wrathful. You say, well, how about the guys in the book of Revelation with all the, you know, gnats getting them and, you know, whatever else? Well, you know, what about it? It's for the wicked that don't believe that God is good. He didn't send the gnats out of him. He never said, if you eat of the tree, I'll kill you. He didn't say that. He just said, you'll die. In other words, he cared that they didn't die. That's why he said, don't build your house on sand, because a storm will come along and then your house will fall down. That's all. And then he said, build your house on a rock, which was him. And, you know, everyone didn't get what he was trying to teach, but he's just trying to teach that God was good. I know I'm making it sound easy, because it is. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, because we had took no bread, which Jesus perceived and said to them, oh, you of little faith, why do you reason? Why do you reason among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread? Is that why you're doing it? Do you not yet understand? Self-evident truths come over here. Here, you know, Jefferson wrote that, you know, self-evident. Do good, don't do bad, that kind of thing. But Jesus doesn't teach self-evident truths. He teaches the truth from God. He doesn't teach it because nobody can understand how God could forgive a sinner or love a sinner. You know, Buddha doesn't teach that. The Hindus don't teach that. The Muslims don't teach that. The Catholics don't teach that. The Jews don't teach that. They all teach behave yourself. We're the only ones, and I think I'm the only one, because I don't know very many ministers that teach what I teach, which is don't do it. Don't do anything. Just relax. Be yourself. God's done it all. Just fall in love with Jesus. I mean, how could it be better? And I'm a perfect example. I never tried to be religious or tried to please my wife or anything. I didn't work at anything. I have the gift of laziness. Does anyone else have that gift? It's kind of a gift where I don't want to work, you know, unless I have to, kind of thing. I'm a procrastinator, lazy, and so on and so forth. I'm just a normal, regular, kind of bad person. You know, always selfish, never care for anybody else, don't listen to my wife, and so on and so forth. I don't. I don't pay attention to any rules and any laws. I break every rule and every law. Is anyone else as bad as I am?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love it. Because you know what? That's the bulk of humanity. No. We don't like people trying to restrain us and constrain us and shape up. Do I know it's right? Of course, everybody knows it's right. Everybody knows that God wants you to behave and be happy, but did you know that he really doesn't want that? He really wants to behave himself and let you be happy because of that. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Not happy is the man that keeps all his laws. You can't keep his laws. He knows that. Do you think he made you in such a way that you could do it? No, he made you in such a way that you could never figure anything out. Remember, he put a tree there and they didn't even know what that tree was, but they wanted to eat that fruit. For some reason, we always want to do what we're not supposed to do. For some reason, the thing that you're forbidden to do is exactly what you want to do. Has anybody ever figured that out? Why do I drink like this when I know it's going to give me this or that and so on and so forth? And headache and, you know, whatever else. And sclerosis and all that stuff. Why do they do it? I don't know, but people just do stupid stuff. You ever notice that? Is God mad? No. You know what God wants is, since you can't be perfect without him, why don't you get him? Have a relationship with him and stop trying to keep his laws. Because nobody's ever kept them. No, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No, not one. I don't know why. It's really simple to me. God is good. Nobody else is good. None is good but God. It's kind of clear to me that we can't be good. So why would I try to build my life on being good and moral and nice and so on and so forth when there's nobody like that? They're just people lying and being hypocrites. Nobody is nice. Amen? Everybody here is as bad as I am. It's just I didn't try. You know, Peggy said, well, I'd like to be as evil as you are, but I don't feel I might go to hell. And so she at least makes a try at it. And I don't even make a try. That really makes her mad. She says, at least try. I don't want to. So, you know, I can only do it for a few seconds, then I run out. I can only smile for so long on the photograph thing. And I just can't keep it up. And I know I'm going to blink or something, because I just can't. And I can't clap either. You know, I don't know if you've ever noticed, I'll clap way off. I've never figured out how to do it. I don't know. It's born into black people, but I just cannot clap regular like that. I don't know how people do it. But I don't work hard at stuff I'm not good at. And the stuff I'm good at, yeah, I'll show off on those. And you're not supposed to, but I do. Want everyone to note that. Write that down. Now, do you not yet understand how the 5 loaves and the 5,000, how many baskets you took up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? I mean, haven't you learned anything? How is it that you do not understand that I spake to you not concerning bread? That you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. First time it hit them. Now, this is not because Jesus is a good teacher, because he's obscure. He's talking leaven. How are they going to make this jump? But they do. Ah, it says here, they perceived that then they understood that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Behave yourself. He was saying, come have a relationship with me, a love affair with me. I'll do everything. You do nothing. I'm the husband. You're the wife. I take the burden. You get the blessing. Wow, that was a new teaching. That was weird. They're going to have to kill him for that, because he's making it too easy. And then where's religion? What good is religion? They're out of business now. So Jesus is ruining all the religions. He's making it so easy that all the burden's on God and all the burden's on the man, and there's no burden on the wife. That's why he calls us the bride of Christ. He wants you to have all the blessings, all the joy, all the peace. Not in heaven. Now. Now. And then you get it later too. I tell you, this Jesus is too awesome. Do y'all see this? This is bad teaching, I know. But still, I like it. I love this teaching because it fits me. It fits me because I'm a normal, natural scoundrel. Is anybody else a scoundrel? I know Willis is. But is anyone else? Yeah. Sam. Great job. I'm putting this on tapes. Time to go. You can tell Peggy is impatient with the fact that I'm going overboard. I just think this is wonderful. No reasoning, no morals, no nothing. Just let God be God and you be you. And let God love you as you are. Isn't that what children want? They don't want to behave themselves and be on the little potty thing and all that. What they want to do is just be loved. Just let them be. So we didn't make our children brilliant and all that kind of stuff. I put a lot of pictures on the wall, but, you know, it was kind of like, that was just decoration, because I wanted my kids to grow, but I didn't want to force them to be early and, you know Latin and Hebrew and Greek and so on. Later, I did do that, but I gave them a chance to just grow up and be a kid for a while. Do y'all see that? And they're all normal. My kids do not have two agendas: people pleasing and then something else. My kids are just what they are, and they're wonderful. I mean, they're really neat, because they believe in Jesus. But all they believe is that they're loved unconditionally. They believe that mom and dad love me no matter what, unconditionally. That's powerful. Do you see that love is more powerful than hatred? That pressure on people is not good, because people and pressure, that's an oxymoron. People can do it, but they're no longer people. Because if you're in a marriage and you have to behave to stay in that marriage, that's not a marriage. You ought to be loved just for who you are. And you ought to not be loved because you keep all the rules and all the laws and stuff. How many people are inconsistent? And they just can't keep up with and live under the stress. Dallas is a big stress city. I'm telling you, here, there's a lot of stress. I think that's why there's a lot of bars here to relieve that. I mean, there's a lot of churches, but there's a lot of stress. That's why there's a lot of bars. And the more churches, the more bars. Because you got to have some relief somewhere. Hello? This is really bad teaching. We better not make this into a tape. I think this is probably too good to be true. But there you have it. All right, Peggy's right. I got to go. You got to deal with the other people. I've taught this so many times, but I love this story. He asks him the question after this. In other words, if God is the provider, and you're not, but God is your provider, then if God provides everything and you can provide nothing, why don't you let God do what God's good at? Why do something that you're not good at or that's really hard on you? You know, why not have a no-maintenance relationship with God where God does all the maintaining, where the husband takes all the burdens, where God does everything, where God provides for himself a lamb for the people's sin. Instead of them having to buy one, he just sends his own son and says, you know, let's be nice on the lambs from now on. And after that, the lambs felt a lot better because they weren't slaughtering all the time. Because they had to, yeah, people were sinning so much that the lambs were in trouble. They were trying to produce as fast as they could, and they only have two a year in the spring and another two in the fall. I mean, they weren't producing enough lambs to keep up with the sins of the people. But they were kind of relieved when they got that emancipation proclamation that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That's a one-time deal. And all the animals loved him. You know, the animals were happy about that. So the manger was peaceful after that. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. And we went there. And it's in Muslim hands now, but that lady was good. Gabrielle. She was good. She did a good job. I guess she was a Christian. She seemed to say she was. But she gave a good deal on it. I thought it was okay. Well, anybody learn anything today?
Yeah.
I mean, you might think I didn't study or anything because I'm too enthusiastic about it. But actually, I studied all night. I got up at 1:30, and I've been up since then, studying. But actually, I did it the day before and the day before and the day before because I'm just always studying. So you might think this is too good to be true, but it is true. This is the God we love. I'm just trying to change your picture of God. You change your picture of God, you change everything in your life. You don't change your picture of God, everything in your life is not going to work. So it's so easy. Once you get this, you got everything. And Jesus is exactly who God is. The way Jesus was, no burden was ever put on the disciples or anybody else. Jesus was paying for everything. Because God is a provider. And he just wanted them to know, who do men say that I am? That's where I quit right there. I love y'all. God is good. God is great. Fall in love with this guy. He wants a relationship, not performance. Relationship. Your performance will just come. When you're loved, you'll perform.